Praise the Lord. The priest can see that. I'm going to go into a brief exhortation. But before we sing, before we start the exhortation, I want to just, brother, help me with your music, Dave. What shall I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. What shall I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Sing it with me. What shall I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. What shall I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you. One more time. What shall I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. What shall I give unto the Lord? All I have to say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All I have to say is thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will give us some exhortation today as we open your word. Speak through my mouth, Lord, and open the heart of all of us to receive your word and be blessed today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out what to exhort the brethren. So I'm going to call this exhortation more like sundry revelations. The first thing that comes to my heart is to give a testimony of many years ago. I was in France, Paris to be exact. This part of it is going to be called Stand Out for Jesus. Stand Out for Jesus. So I actually went on a trip from here to France, and then I was coming back, renting a car, and I said I wanted to stop in some malls and just try to witness. I wanted to give some tracts out to some people. So I parked in one of those places. Of course, I couldn't speak French. So I parked in a place. It was a big mall. So I went into the mall to give out some tracts. I actually purposely printed some tracts that are in French. From here, I printed them. I had a French-speaking guy here. So I wrote the tract in English, very small pamphlet, and it helped me to translate them into French. So I printed some of them out. So that was my weapon of distributing tracts in France. I'm talking of 1999, something like that, 1996 or 97. So as I entered this mall, there was a young lady, young student, about 16 years old. Not just standing by herself, dressed in one of those you call the punk rock dress. You know, you're these punk rock guys with her hair pointed up like this and painted red, you know, blue, whatever it is. And with shame, you know, shame upon her body. And jeans, dirty jeans, you know, with torn jeans like this. And I'm a preacher. So I saw this lady, this young lady about... She'd be an high school kid. She was, anybody could see her, they quickly moved away. Because the way she was dressed, the way she, and she was a French lady. So I kind of got interested and I moved closer to her. Tried to talk to her. And she was surprised that somebody really wanted to talk to her. Because she didn't think anybody was bold enough to talk to her. And that was... You could have seen some people like that in America here also. Some teenage kids, some high school kids, some college kids that would dress so strange. Almost like they have a gun. If you dare to move closer to them, they might shoot you. But all the people were afraid of her moving away from her. So I moved closer and I tried to talk to her. Why did you dress like this? She said, well, that's how she likes to dress. Try to talk to her about Jesus. She didn't believe in Jesus. She could speak English. That's why I was able to talk to her, because I could see her that she was a high school kid. So, and I tried to tell her that you are trying to be different, no sir? Yeah, she said, I don't care what anybody tells me, what he says. She wanted to be different. She wanted to make a point. I don't know what point she was trying to make, but I tried to use that to talk to her and say, you are trying to make a point, you're trying to make a difference. You don't care what anybody says about you. That's why you could be in the mall dressed like this, like you say, a satanist or a punk rocker fan. And all the other kids, some other high school kids were coming by. When they saw her, they quickly walked away. And I spoke to her for a while. Well, I gave her a tract, and I told her to read it and talk to her about Jesus. She didn't surrender, but I just... talk about it. I thought about it many years later. I said, Lord, many people wanted to be different in life. They wanted to be a radical. But you know, you can be a radical for Jesus also. That is what I want to point out, especially to you young people. The Lord is looking for people that will be a radical for him. A radical means you don't care what they say, you want to tell about Jesus. Amen? So that is what I want to first point out to you. That young lady wants to be unique. She wanted to be different. She will be classified as a rebel to the society. Rebel. Because of the way she dressed, because of she was even a girl, not only a boy. And she also was not afraid. Anybody didn't want to talk to her. And I thought about her. We are called to be radicals also for Jesus. And that is what I want to point out to you. That when you give all to Jesus, you give your life all to him, and you are ready to tell about Jesus, then he will give his power for you. Open to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. The book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Put it on the screen, please. This is the Lord calling disciples to follow him. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the fishing places. Fishermen. Those are the people he went to call. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Go to verse 10 also. This is where the Lord is telling us what we may realize, that we will be different when you stand up for Jesus. But those are the radicals I'm talking about. You have to be ready to be a radical for Jesus also. In verse 10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness' sake. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching, his preaching was revolutionary, completely different from what they were used to. And when he was presenting the gospel, they were also seeing him as different, because what the Pharisees thought of as holiness does not fit what he was doing. They said, well, how are you eating with harlots, publicans? Why are you not washing your hands? Your disciples were not washing their hands before they eat. All of those things that they were pointing out to Jesus, and he was telling them what the scripture says, of course. But it tells us something, that he has called us to be radicals for him. Because when you stand for Jesus, bold enough to tell them that you belong to Jesus, you will be strange to many people. That was why I bring that story of that young girl that wanted to be different. She wanted to be radical, but she was doing it the opposite direction. She was serving the devil. But God wants you to be a radical for him also, serving him where you are not afraid what people may say about you, but you just wanted to stand for Jesus. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Gospel of Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Yes, what the Lord Jesus Christ said again, if any man will come to me, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That part of the last part, and his own life also, that is the big part. People can say, yeah, I don't care what my parents say. People can say, yeah, I don't care what friends say. But what about your own life also? That means you must be ready to be a radical for Jesus. See, you cannot be my disciple unless you can. You use the word hate here. That was what it was translated to be. But because I remember when I was preaching in Nigeria and I talked to one young man, he tried to use that to say that's why he didn't want to follow anymore. I said, well, it's not like say you have to hate or slap your parents and so on. It simply means you won't let them influence you to turn away from Jesus when you make up your mind. They are not to influence you to turn away from Jesus. You are joined in marriage to another person, to Jesus Christ. There have been testimonies upon testimonies, especially in this generation. We are seeing stories upon stories of people in the Islamic world. At once, Jesus Christ is manifesting to people right now, even in the Islamic world. Many are giving testimonies. Go to YouTube and just search. You see many testimonies of Muslims that they saw Jesus and they decided to follow Jesus. And you know what that meant? Persecution from their own parents. And that is the kind of thing Jesus Christ said, if you are going to follow me, you must be ready to even hate your own life, because they wanted to kill him. Many of them were being killed. Many of them were being persecuted by their parents, by their family members. It's happening in Saudi Arabia. It's happening in so many other places that we are reading those testimonies on YouTube. And this is real. And we that are in this Western world, it looks like we have been taking it so lightly, the gospel. We have been taking the gospel so lightly to the point that the Lord couldn't use many people. He wants you to be a radical for him. So that is my first challenge to every one of us. Let me give an example of Moses in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. The Bible talks about the faith of Moses. Yeah? He said, by faith, Moses, when he was called to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, that faith of Moses that was described here is talking about somebody that decided to follow God. Doesn't care what the pleasures that he could have enjoyed being in the palace of the king of Egypt. He stood out to be counted for, the Bible says in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Summarizing, that means he stood up for what he believed. And he was ready to suffer for it. That is, he was a radical. People say, that's being radical. How can you leave the palace and join these so-called Hebrews? They were slaves. And the Bible said he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. So that is standing up for Jesus that I'm talking about, being radical for Jesus. And you can see on and on. The book of Daniel tells us the story of Daniel himself and the three Hebrew children that were all standing up for their faith. But that is the first thing I wanted to share with us. Especially you young people, have you made up your mind that you are going to be a radical for Jesus? Stand up for Jesus. Ready to tell people what the Bible says. That means you have to know the Bible yourself. That means you have to give your life to him. And then be ready to speak for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I gave out, I told them to pass out some flyers there. That flyer is talking about the reign of love's kingdom. If you have not, if a family does not have one, please. I want you to just read that when you get back home. That is more or less something that the Lord wanted us to know at this end time. That was a prophecy that was written in the 1600s. And this woman, Jane Lee, that wrote that prophecy, it touched me when I read it, and it made me to say, I will pass it out to other people. It's not just an extract. Telling us that the thing that God is waiting for is that love. The woman called it the reign of love's kingdom. See, the kingdom of love is what God is preparing the saints to get into. The kingdom of love, that divine love, is what is going to take us out of here. Divine love is going to take us out of here. And the Lord said it in many words. John chapter 14. Now that's the second part of what I'm going to share with us today, is the love of Jesus that he wanted us to remember his commandment. John chapter 14, verse 31. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about himself in that verse, why he had to go to the cross, so that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. That is, he loved the Father. So he was ready to sacrifice himself, no matter how it hurts. You know what I just said earlier on? To be unique for Jesus, to be a radical for Jesus. It's in line with this also. Now, he's saying he loved the Father, and the Father gave commandment, and he was ready to lay down his life because of the love for the Father. Now, we are to love our head. Who is the head? Christ is the head of the church. So, you must be ready to lay down your life for the head. That's Jesus Christ just gave an example. He laid down his life. He said, well, it's because he loved us. Yes, he loved the sheep. But he said, it's because he loved the Father. That's why he laid down his life. That's what the Bible verse said. That the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. So Christ is the head. He said the head of Christ is God. The head of the church is Christ. Actually, he said the head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. Now, he said, I love the Father, and so I lay down my life. Christ is saying we are to love him so much that we are ready to do anything for him. I say that again. Christ is saying we, the body of Christ, the church, we are to love him, the head, so much that we are ready to do anything for him. Amen? Let's bring it out from Gospel of John chapter 21. Because that was the message the Lord wanted me to bring today for everybody. I just throw in the other one, but this seems to dovetail the way I just saw it right now, because like I said, you want to witness for that young girl was wanting to be a radical. Radical is what he's saying, ready to do anything for whoever you are serving. We are to be a radical for Jesus. That means we are ready to serve him and do anything that he commands. Anything for Jesus. Gospel of John chapter 21, this is the story, verse 15. In this story, the apostles, after Jesus Christ resurrected, they were in a limbo. Limbo means nothing seems to be happening. The Lord has said, wait in Jerusalem. But according to this story, Peter was a fisherman. Praise the Lord. Fisher was a fisherman. He had his business. After Christ called him, he had to pack that business and go away. Can you just turn that thing up, please, brother? You can just take it out, brother. Take that cell phone out. Peter was a fisherman, so he packed his fishing business and followed the Messiah for 3.5 years. And then everything seems to have ended. Well, no hope. The Messiah is crucified, resurrected. Wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. In that limbo state, it was where they were, and Peter had this story to tell us. Verse 2 of chapter 21, verse 2 said, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others. So Peter told him in verse 3, I go a fishing. You wonder, why will he want to go back to fishing? Nothing seems to be happening. So I go a fishing. Maybe there was money is not coming in. The Messiah that had been providing the food, and maybe that was one of the reasons he wanted to go back to fishing. But the Lord has called him for something else. So Christ had to corner him in this, by this lake. So the other said, we also go with thee. So you can read the rest of the story. I'm going to go to verse 15, where the summary of what I wanted to say about is. So they said, well, we go fishing. They went all night. They didn't catch anything. As it was getting to the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ was at the shore. And he called out to them and said, children, have you any meat? They said, no. They thought maybe somebody wanted to buy fish, waiting for them. He said, no, we don't have any fish. Verse 6, he said, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So they, almost like they didn't know why, they just obeyed. And they did, and now they couldn't pull the net. Somehow, John, who was writing this, said, he quickly remembered, that must be the Lord. So he told them, this is the Lord. So they now knew it was the Lord Jesus that came again to show himself to them by the church. So Peter jumped to the water, and they came by and met Jesus. Now in verse 15, read the rest of the story. They ate, Christ gave them fish, and said, bring the rest of some of the fish. They brought some of the fish. There was fire. They cooked some fish, and they ate breakfast. When it came to verse 15, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Simon. Verse 15, it says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? And he said, yes, Lord, I love thee, I love thee. Now, that question is what the Lord is asking every one of us. Every one of us. Lovest thou me more than this? Well, let's analyze that. Some narrators may say he was saying, do you love me more than this rest of these disciples? You can interpret it that way. Because there could have been a manual gesture with hands. He could have been saying, do you love me more than this fish? Because they just had about 153 fishes inside that basket. And they said they were great fishes. And Christ knew that he was a fisherman also. He said, lovest thou me more than this? It could be more than these fishes. It could be more than the rest of the disciples. Peter said, yes, I love you, I love you, I love you. But the question is thrown to you and to me. Like I said, he said, because I love the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep, even though it will hurt. Now he's saying, do you love him so much that you are ready to do anything he calls you to do? That is the question. Lovest thou me more than this? And every one of us would like to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, without really thinking about it. So he said it again to Peter. After the second, he said, lovest thou me, Peter? He said, yes, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. The first time he said, feed my lamb. Second time he said, feed my sheep. Look like Peter didn't get it. So he said it again. Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me? Now that grieved Peter. If somebody is asking you, do you really love me? Just think of if his spouse is asking the other spouse and he's saying it three times. It's like, you're doubting me. That's what you're going to say. You're doubting me? You're doubting my love? He said, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. He said, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Now he's asking the same question from you and from me. Like I said, you are to love the head. He said, because I love the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. We are to love Christ so much that we are ready to lay down anything for him. Anything. And what did he command us to do? What has he commanded us to do? John chapter 13, verse 34. John, Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Let's say again. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now that is the commandment he has given to us, the body of Christ. People say, well, that summarizes everything about the law. He said, that is the old law of God. Do not commit adultery. Do not do this. Do not that. He says, if you love, you will fulfill all of those. You don't need to even talk about those because that will be part of you. Because if I love you, I will not cheat on you. If I love you, I will not speak against you. I will not speak lies about you. I will not bear false witness against you if I love you. See, if you love one another, there will be no bitterness, suspicion, envy, strife. See, you must love one another. That is the commandment he gives to us. They say, how can you do this? You must love him, the head. Like he said, he loved the Father, and he has to lay down his life for this sheep. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. When we were unlovable, the Bible says he loved us. That is the divine love that God is commanding. Not the love that says, oh, because he did something nice to me, then I will do something nice to him or her. That is the woman love. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the love that is unconditional. How can I do that? Somebody that just hurt me. He said, because I commanded it. Because he commanded it. That is why we have to do it. He said, that is, you have to do this for Christ's sake. Are you getting me? Amen? So the love is commanding us to do, to have. It's not because this fellow is lovable or because this person did something nice to me. All of those are on the level of human love. You do me, I do you. That is not what he's commanding. He's saying, I love the Father, that is why I'm doing this, laying down my life for the sheep. We are to love him who is the head of the church so much that we are ready to do anything for him. Anything for him. Including loving the unlovable. Loving that person you have already said, this can never be saved. This is an ungodly person, can never be saved. Christ said, you have to love him or her. So how can I love her? They did this to me. They wanted to destroy her. They wanted to kill her. They wanted to... God said, for Christ's sake, because he commanded it, we have to love him. The Lord gave me a vision, which I've related over and over again, that is actually talking to the church, the believers. In this vision, I was stumbling. I found myself on kind of a mountain, looking down at a city that was full of light. And there was a wall around the city and a gate. People are coming to the gate of this beautiful city that is almost like a cloud of light inside that city. And the people that are coming in are like the believers. And they went in as they were to enter the gate, they ran back Then the place they are parking, piling up. People are piling up at the gate. They couldn't get in. Somebody was saying, I was on the mountain just watching this thing. Someone was saying, an angel was there trying to kill us. An angel was there trying to kill us. And another person said, wait, the Lord is coming to talk to us. And then from that city, I saw doves just flying above the walls, and they came down as they were coming in. I saw the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, came down flying on top of that wall and landed in front of them, in front of this crowd of believers at the gate that couldn't go in. You know what he told them? I said you should love one another. That's all he told them. I said you should love one another. And then the vision vanished. See, that was why believers couldn't go in at the gate, because they were not loving one another. And that is why I preached this over and over. I preached it in 2007. It was repeated in 2010. And the Lord said, bring it again today. And that is why I'm bringing it again today. But you see, it's tied up with the fact that you are ready to be a radical for Jesus. That is, you are ready to love the unlovable. You are ready to love those that you think, no, this, you will be surprised. How can you love this person? How can you show this kind of love? Just like Christ did. Loving the publicans that the Jews have attributed to be sinners. Not only sinners, they were working for the enemy. I mean, the Romans were the enemies as far as they were concerned. And the publicans were the tax collectors, collecting the money. And they were also thieves, not like the tax collectors that loved us. No, they are tax collectors that didn't really care whether you are Jew or non-Jew. So they overshagged them and pocketed the money, and the Romans liked that. So the Jews didn't like the publicans. But Christ came loving them. They said, this man, how can he be holy and loving these people? And that is the same heart he wanted us to have. Love one another. We are not even talking about loving the enemy, because he actually said you should love your enemy. Well, let's see. Where does he say that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. So we have a long way to go in the body of Christ. We, all of us. Verse 43 says, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, that is those people you call sinners, do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now that is the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, his own teaching. And we have to now say, Lord, how can I do this? He said, well, the only way you can do this is to love him, Christ, our head, more than anything else, that I'm ready to do anything for Jesus. And then we'll be ready to sacrifice and say, why? Because he was able to do what he did because he loved the head, the Father. So we'll be able to do this only if we love Jesus so much that we are ready to do anything for Jesus. Let me bring it down to nitty-gritty before we pray. The scripture said we are to love even our enemies. He also said you are start from a businessman. Here's a businessman. You are to do all as if you are doing it for the Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible said. We are to do all as for Jesus. I'm ready to do anything for Jesus, for Christ's sake. Now, here's a businessman, and he has a business, and he tried to get a contract from this other business. In the corrupt societies, they wanted him to give him some kickback. The purchasing manager won't give you this contract unless you can grease his elbow, no? Charge us twice, but put half of it into this account, half of that. And they do that in most of the corrupt nations, even in the country where I work right now. I work for the government contractors. And every year they let you go through that bribery training that you must know that it is against the law of the land of America for anybody to collect bribes or to even give bribe. And the country does that because the law of the government does that because they know some of these big corporations. You want to get contract from Africa, from Saudi Arabia. And the salesperson there wants you to do just like they did in Saudi Arabia or in Nigeria or in Africa. But you, as an employee of American corporation, you are not allowed to participate in them. So that's the fraudulent things that they make you go through the training over and over. Now, if you are a small business, you are depending on that contract. But the Bible said you are to do all things as unto the Lord. You cannot take bribe or give bribe and all that. So you can't give that kickback to that purchasing manager. Say, well, you are just going to have to close down your business. Are you ready to do anything for Jesus? That is what he said. Are you ready to do anything for Jesus and say, well, for Christ's sake, I will not participate in that? Somebody say, well, you just have to close down your business. You get no contract. Are you ready to suffer for Jesus? This is talking an example. I was in Nigeria many years ago. I traveled to Nigeria, and I have to challenge some of our believers, brethren, because that was going on. You are in your car, you got to the police stop, and there were so many police stops in the country. And what were they looking for? They were looking for you to give them bread, just to let you pass. And some of the brethren just picked me up from the airport, and it was coming in. The police stopped us about so many miles from the airport. What do you have in your truck? That's my luggage. You can see the tags. The airline tags is there. They were, open it. Why do I have to open my bag? No, you won't leave unless you open this bag. These are about 3 or 4 policemen. Open the bag. No, I don't have to open the bag. You only check it at the airport. And you see, you know what they are looking for? They want you to give them bribe just for you to pass. We refuse. I refuse because I'm not giving any dime. After paying so many dollars just to travel to Africa from America to the airline, and the customers check the bags. Now the police in the city is now trying me to open the bag. Like, no, I'm not going to open the bag. And they wasted my time almost 1.5 hours. We started preaching to them. We were preaching to them, me and the guys that came to pick me up. I said, we preached and preached. I said, no, the man was furious. The policeman said, you are not going anywhere. And they will stop other cars, get money from them. I put it and say, you are not going anywhere. We started preaching and preaching. Am I ready to suffer for Jesus? Some people say, well, don't waste your time. Just give them what they want. I said, no. That is what we are talking about. Are you ready to suffer for Jesus? After we have preached for almost 1 hour, you know, they kind of toned down. And they said, well, yeah, we know the whole Nigeria is corrupt. You're just going to have to. One of them said, we are only waiting for fire to come and destroy us all. That was how they knew that this thing was rampant. I said, no, you can be different. That's what we are telling them. You can be different. You can make a difference in the police station. To make the story short, these people, we prayed for them. They gave their life to Christ, about 3 policemen. After 1.5 hours, and I use that to challenge the rest of the brethren that we met. I said, if you are not ready to suffer 1.5 hours being delayed, you most likely will participate. And it's going all over the nation. If you go to the passport office just to collect application form, the clerical assistant wants you to rob his soldier just for giving you passport form. Now they're almost like selling it, when the government didn't tell him to sell it. So that is what we are saying. Are you, if we are a believer, are you ready to do anything for Jesus, including suffering for him? Because people are not ready to suffer for Jesus. Actually, another thing was going on that we say, until somebody is ready to stand and be imprisoned. John, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we read the stories in the Bible. Daniel, we read the story in the Bible. If they were not willing, if Daniel was not willing to go into the jailhouse or into the lion's den, there would be no story to tell. There would be no way Christ can show his wonders. But he was ready to die for him, for his cause, for what he believed. Are we ready? That's what I mean by being a radical for Jesus. That's how I started, being a radical for Jesus. Are we ready to suffer reproach for Christ? Because when we are ready to suffer for reproach for Christ, and we refuse to participate in whatever the world wanted us to participate in, then the Lord will be ready to show forth his power. That we all wanted this wonder's power. We read the story of Daniel. He was casted in the lion's den, and the lions didn't hurt him. It was because he was ready to die. He was ready, as he given his life to his cause. He was ready to die, and the Lord then will show his power to show that. The same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They declared before the king Nebuchadnezzar, we are not afraid. If you throw us there, our God is mighty. There's no doubt about that. Even if he chooses not to save us, we are still not going to bow. The Bible said Nebuchadnezzar was mad, furious. He said, make that fire 7 times hotter. So that if these boys escape, it has to be a miracle. And they threw them in. The Bible said even the men that threw them into the fire were consumed by the heat, the flame of the fire. But God was there to deliver them only because they went into the fire. If they bat out, it will not be recorded. If they didn't go into the fire and they chicken out and say, Nebuchadnezzar, we will just do what you say, there will be no story to tell, and there will be no testimony for God. God is going to get glory and testimony only when we, saints, have made up our mind to suffer for him. Are you ready to do anything for Jesus? That's what he's saying. Now, that is an example. What about even in the simple instructions? Wives, submit to your husbands. That's what the Bible says. It's a command of the Lord. It says, you wives, be subject unto your own husbands. You say, well, no, if I'm going to be submission like that, I'm submitting like that, I will be a doormat. I can't be a doormat for anybody. Are you ready to do anything for Jesus? Including being a fool? Yes. Are you ready to be a fool for Jesus? Because that's his command. He said the Father commanded him, that is why he laid down his life where it hurts. And he's saying the same thing. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And you say, well, I can't be a doormat for anybody. Then you are not serving Christ. You are serving yourself. Are you ready to do anything for Jesus, including that particular instruction? What about husbands? Oh, yeah, he said, dwell with them with knowledge. Be not bitter against them. There are many things that can make you bitter. And that bitterness, she didn't do that. She did that to me. She said that to me. And there will be some bitterness. The Christ said, be ye not bitter against them. So which means, can you do that? Can you be humble enough to surrender that, to obey that word? Ready to do anything for Jesus? Or you are going to, I know a friend that said, he was the one that went to the divorce court and went and said, you are the one that went and filed the divorce? Why? He couldn't and he didn't want this woman anymore. Well, you know the Bible says God hates divorce. You are going to say, well, are you ready to do anything for Jesus? Including suffering like this? Are you ready to do anything for Jesus? That is what he says. Loving one another is for Christ's sake. Not because he is lovable. Not because that brother is lovable. And there are many things that is just between household. What about between brethren and brethren in the household of God? One time somebody preached And that person rose up and stood against them and said, this is evil, this is that, and blasted the sermons. You can listen to some radio broadcasts and listen that that pastor is talking about that pastor. That minister is talking about that minister. And they couldn't fellowship one with another anymore. Why? Because I just heard on his radio broadcast, he just blasted my sermon, he heard. Or the fellowships between brethren and brethren, between groups and groups have been hindered. But Christ said, I say you should love one another. I say you should love one another. It's happening all over the world. It's happening among we Africans also. That we couldn't even fellowship one with another. Why? Another thing, we must be humble enough to apologize to one another. Be humble enough to apologize to one another. Are we ready to do anything for Jesus? And as I wrap it up, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Put that on the screen. This is what God did for us. And are we ready to do similar things for Him? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Christ, this is talking about God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God spared not his own son. He delivered him up for us all. So how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has given to us. He said, what have you given to me? That's what is a song that was in a hymn. He said, I gave my life for you. What have you given to me? That's what Christ is challenging you and I about. He said he gave his life for you. He even left his beautiful city, his beautiful throne, and came down to this ugly world. And he's saying, what have you given up for me? That pride, that ego. You ready to give it up for Jesus? Think about it. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet and talk to the Lord yourself as we pray. Just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I know we are all imperfect. We need your mercy, Lord. Help us to be able to surrender all to Jesus. To be able to love one another for Jesus' sake. Not because he is lovable. Not because he didn't hurt me or she didn't hurt me. Not because what she did is nothing. She might have hurt you. He might have hurt you. Your ex-friend, ex-spouse, ex-husband, ex-wife, or your co-worker. And God said, I say you should love one another. That love must be reigning in our lives. That co-worker that swore that he was going to get you fired. What Jesus Christ said, he said you have to love him or her. So how can I love that woman or that man that said he's going to get me fired in this office? Can you do anything for Jesus? Let's pray. Talk to the Father. I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will burn this into our heart. Help us to show that love, the kind of love that you already planted into our heart. You say, the love of God is shed abroad into our heart by the Holy Ghost. Help us to exercise that love in the household, between husband and wives, in the family of saints, between brethren and brethren, in the place of work, between co-workers, so that we can be children of God indeed. To be perfect, like you said, we should be perfect. Help us, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give us a song.